Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last night we baptized Ashton Daniel Worth, and we baptized him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The reason that we do it that way comes from Jesus' final command to his disciples in the 28th chapter of Matthew. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age. We call it the Great Commission. And since then, most every Christian has been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What those titles describe is what we call the Trinity. That word doesn't exist in the Bible, by the way, Trinity. But yet we understand God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hence the namesake of this Sunday, Holy Trinity Sunday. Oddly enough, the only Sunday of the church year dedicated to a doctrine rather than to an event. Now, normally what most preachers do and what I've done all too often on Trinity Sunday is try very hard to describe the nature of God. Try to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. And generally it either went one of two ways. Either we would get lost in the depths of 5th century metaphysical philosophy, and everybody's eyes would glaze over, and you'd all become catatonic. Or I would oversimplify it so much that I would trivialize it into nothing more than a really bad object lesson, trying to explain the depth and width and height and power and majesty of our God. To be truthful, it's beyond my ability to do so. God's bigger than even any of us can imagine. It is true, God has created the universe and still creates life and sustains it, and we describe that as the work of God the Father. And it is true, God came to us into this world in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ to show us what God really is like, to redeem us and save us, to die and rise again, and one day to come again. And it is true that our God is with us now, empowering us and enlightening us, creating faith, prodding us and challenging us as the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But really, there's more than that. There's so much more. If anything, God is bigger than human words can describe. Some of you, old enough, might remember an Anglican bishop by the name of J.B. Phillips. He wrote a couple things. He paraphrased the New Testament, but he also wrote a little book that was one of the first books that I ever read in theology, and I was kind of hooked by it. The title of the book was Your God is Too Small. Basically, what he was doing is reacting to the massive changes in the world in the 50s and 60s of modernism, but he also exposed views of God that were really inadequate, that were common, but really not true. For example, he talked about God as the cosmic policeman. People think all too many times that God is like this cosmic policeman who has a killer surveillance system, who is constantly watching to see when you slip up, when you sin, and just lurking around the corner to catch you and punish you. Unfortunately, that same view of God still exists, even in a postmodern world. People think of God as the cosmic Santa Claus, who is watching to see if you're naughty or nice. And if you're not, then you might get a piece of coal in your stocking. But no, we don't even do that anymore. Another view of God that he talked about was the cosmic watchmaker. The God who created everything, sets it off working, and then goes on vacation. A God who is distant. A God who is aloof, who doesn't care about his creation. That book was written long ago, but it really hits the nail on the head in many respects. It is a striking diagnosis of the way that many Christians describe God in ways that are just way too small to be adequately describing the power and majesty and grace and love of God. One of Phillips' critics summarized it this way. He said, long, long ago, God created us in God's image, and it didn't take long for us to return the favor, creating God in our image. And all too often, that's true. Many Christians still today seem to serve a God who thinks like they do, who acts like they do, who sometimes looks like they do, a God of scarcity. You know, a God who recognized that it's okay to hoard God's blessings because there's not enough to go around, so you better get all you can get and not the other guy. People actually think that's the way the world is supposed to be, the way that God set things up. Many people believe or seem to believe in a God whose love has to be rationed. That too, there's not enough to go around, so you have to hoard it just for the special deserving few, but not for all. Not for everyone. It seems that their God has a particular love for geography, for the particular piece of geography that I'm standing on. My land is blessed by God and no one else. People have these images of God that seem to be more images of themselves than of the deity. That their God blesses only those of the right heritage. But I would say that there's a bigger God than that. Our God has more love and more grace and more mystery than any of those gods created in our own images. It is true. It is difficult to put this into words. Someone asked me last night why we don't recite the Athanasian Creed on Holy Trinity Sunday. Well, that too will make your eyes glaze over in the depths of 5th century mysticism. But how many words you use isn't the point. The point is that our God is majesty, is large, is huge, is bigger than we can imagine. The Orthodox Christians, I think, really have this down right. They don't really try to describe the power of God, the nature of God. They just, you know, bask in the mystery of it all, because God is so beyond our understanding that it's a waste of time to try to put it into words. What they recognize, and this I think is absolutely true, is that the nature of God is all about relationships. In many ways, the doctrine of the Trinity is an attempt to describe a relationship that God wants to be in and stay in a relationship with God's creation, with the world around us, but most especially with each of us. Every single one of us, God wants to be in constant, close, loving relationship with each of us. Just think, you know, if you've ever looked at the Hubble telescope, you know, field view of all these galaxies that they see out there, you know, imagine the God who created all of that still knows you by name and cares about you. That God is so large, but yet wants to be in relationship with each of us. The whole thing about the Trinity is generations of Christians struggling to describe something really important about God. That God is more than just a supernatural force. That God wants to be in relationship with all of creation. God's heart is a longing for a relationship with you, creating, rescuing, sustaining the world, longing to make contact with every human heart in the world. That's really what God is about, and that's what Jesus came to reveal to us, a God who loves all, has enough love for all, has grace for all, reaches out to all, wants to be in relationship with all. Relationship, as you know, and particularly relationships of love, they're a dynamic thing. They move and they change and they grow and they adapt based upon one another. That's where love can be strengthened and can grow and become even more powerful, in that dynamic individual relationship with each other. That's how God intends us to live as well. Just as the nature of God is about relationship, God wants us to live in relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. Remember the two great commandments of Scripture? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's how God has created us to be, because that's the very heart of God, a God of relationship who wants to be in love with you and me and all this world. So, in summary, our God, no matter how good we are at describing him, is too small. Words cannot contain the powerful majesty of our God. God is enthroned in majesty, but also as close to us as our next breath. God is present throughout eternity, but he's also present in this very moment, or in that moment when you struggle, when you hurt, when that tear comes to your eye. God is there. But most especially, our God is one who longs to be in relationship with each of you and with me. Our God longs to hold us, touch us, love us, protect us, and be with us. That's who our God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.